Amen. Good to see everybody in church this morning. And I sure count it an honor and a privilege to get to preach out here this morning. Now, the question is why is Brother Eddie in camo? We have been doing for the last several weeks, 5 weeks, 4 weeks, I'm not sure which, but we've been doing our fall program, Camp Sunshine. And everything's been about the outdoors. Now, how many of you know anything about deer hunting? Let me see your hand. There's a few. How many of you's daddy's deer hunt? Or granddaddy? Well, Brother Eddie loves to deer hunt. And listen, I don't care what society tells you, that's not cruel. We hunt them so we can what?
Eat them.
Eat them, yeah. You know what meat is? Meat is food. And you know what deer are? Meat. Amen. Just like a cow, just when we go to McDonald's and get a hamburger, somebody had to kill that cow so you could have a Happy Meal, okay? So it's not bad to hunt as long as we do it the right way. But I'm going to talk to you a little bit this morning about deer hunting. And I'm going to use some scriptures this morning that I hope will be a help to you. Now, part of this message, I'm going to have to put this microphone down because I won't be able to hold it, so y'all are going to have to listen real good, okay? Now, I want to lay some groundwork this morning before we get started, and I'm just going to give you some scriptures. You can be turning your Bible to Ephesians chapter number 5. Ephesians chapter number 5. It'll be a few minutes before we get there, but you go ahead and turn to Ephesians chapter number 5. The first verse I want to read to you this morning is in 1 John chapter number 3 and verse number 10. Y'all listening to me? Are y'all listening to me? 1 John chapter number 3 and verse number 10. I want you to notice what the Bible says. The Bible says, in this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. Now I want you to notice something. Pay attention to me. There are two types of children in that verse. Did y'all catch that? There's two types of kids in that verse. And did you know what? We only have two types of kids in this room. We have black kids. We have white kids, we have Hispanic kids, and I don't know what else kind of kids, but we got just about every color, shape, and size. But, listen to me, there's only two types of children in this room. Only two types of children in this whole world. And they're given to us right there in that verse. And you know what he said? They are either children of God, or they are children, be still over there, or they are children of the devil. Do y'all get that? Y'all teenagers, listen to me. Two types of children. You're one of those two. You're a child of God or you're a child of the devil. I didn't call you a child of the devil. The Bible did. That's what God said. He said either you're a child of God or you are a child of the devil. In John chapter number 8, Jesus said this out of his own mouth. He looked at a crowd of people and he said, ye are of your father, the devil. Now, how many of you want the devil to be your daddy? Y'all listening to me? How many of you want the devil to be your daddy? Now, the Bible says you're either a child of God or you're a child of the devil. My question for you this morning is, who's your daddy? Who's your daddy? Whose child are you? Now, I want you to notice something. When we're born, the Bible said we're born into sin. All because of what Adam did way back yonder in the Garden of Eden. He blew it for every one of us. So now everybody that's born and lives and breathes without Jesus Christ, we are a child of the devil. Now, let me ask you a question and pay close attention. How many of you have been saved? Raise your hand. You've been saved. You're going to heaven when you die. There ain't no doubt about it. Hallelujah. That's a whole bunch of you. Just for my own benefit, put your hands down. How many of you got saved here? Glory to God. What a blessing. Y'all put them down. Now, I want you to notice something from the Bible. I want to show you what happened when you got saved. In the book of Romans, in chapter number 8, and verse number 15, the Bible says, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Let me explain something that happened when you got saved. You got adopted into a brand new family. How many of you have ever been adopted? Y'all know what adopted means. Anybody? Anybody in here been adopted? Bless your heart. Bless your heart. Bless your heart. They know what adoption means. Adoption, this is what adoption is. Adoption is when, say, how many of y'all know my wife? She's easy to find. She's the hottest woman in this room. Stand up right there, babe. Come on, stand up. That's my wife right there. Suppose me and my wife, all our children are gone. We ain't got no more little kids at home. And suppose that we were lonely and we wanted a child that we could love and have fellowship with and have a good time and go Six Flags and go to Whitewater and do all those things. But we didn't have a child and we couldn't have any more children. So you know what we might do? We might decide to adopt. So here's what we do. We go out and we look for somebody who don't want the child they have, or who is not taking care of the child they have. So we go to a court and we decide to adopt that child. And a judge says to the old parent, now listen to me. Now when we talk about the judge, we're talking about God this morning. A judge says, you no longer belong to your old daddy. You no longer belong to your old daddy. We have passed a judgment. There is a new daddy here who loves you more than your old daddy. There's a new daddy here who will care for you more than your old daddy did. And he's willing to adopt you and make you his own child, give you everything he would have given his own son. And now you are his child. What happened when we got saved? You see, my old daddy was the devil, and he didn't want nothing for me but to drag me off into hell, to destroy my life and wreck my life and ruin my life. But thank God, one day a new daddy came by, and his name was Jesus, and he said, I want to adopt him. And God, the judge in heaven, looked at the devil and said, you're no longer his daddy. I'm taking him away from you, and I'm giving to Jesus. That's his new father.
Amen.
That's the spirit of adoption. Now, 1 Peter chapter number 5 and verse number 8, the Bible says, be sober, be vigilant. Now, y'all pay close attention to this, you're going to miss something. He said, be sober, that means paying attention. Be vigilant for your adversary. How many of you know what an adversary is? It's an enemy. How many knows what an enemy is? That's somebody who's out to get you. That's somebody. No, and that's not a soldier. That's somebody who wants to hurt you, an enemy. He said, your adversary. Now, Lotus, he's going to tell you who your enemy is. Pay close attention. He said, for your adversary, the devil, walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Now, catch this. Guess who your greatest enemy is? Guess who wants to hurt you more than anybody in this world? Your old daddy. Your old daddy. If you're saved, the one who used to be your father that God took you away from and gave you to Jesus, now he wants to hurt you. Why? Because God took you away from him. And he's mad about it. Everybody here, when you got saved, we shouted about it. If you got saved in this junior church or in the teen church or in the children's church, somebody came over to the big church on Sunday morning and said, Brother Eddie, we had two saved, and we shouted and we cheered and we said amen, but somewhere somebody got good and mad, and that was the devil, your old father. Why? Because he couldn't do anything about it, because Jesus stepped in and snatched you away from him and gave you to God, and hallelujah, you'll never have to die and go to hell if you're saved. You don't have to worry about the devil anymore, but is still after you. He can't take your soul. But you know what he can do? He can ruin your life. He can ruin your life. Teenagers, let me ask you something. How many of you, y'all start school back yet? Did y'all start yesterday or Friday? How many of y'all tempted with stuff at school? Tempted. People want you to smoke some weed or some crack or whatever it may be. It's everywhere. It's everywhere. You know what that is? That's your old daddy trying to mess up your life.
Right.
When that boy comes around and starts talking about how fine you are, and if you really loved him, if you really loved him, you'd do this and you'd do that. You know what that is? That's your old daddy. That's your old daddy. That's your old daddy trying to ruin your life. Now I'm going to talk to the teenagers just for a minute, because I feel like I need to. There's a little girl who used to ride our bus. She used to ride our bus. Just this past week, she's not married. Just this past week, she murdered 2 little babies. Used to ride the bus to church just like you. She murdered 2 little babies. How many of you want that in your life? You know what that was? She came to this church and got saved. But her old daddy got after her. And she quit riding the bus to church. And she got out there in the world. And she became pregnant with little twins. And she went to a doctor and had them killed. Your old daddy's after you. Now in Ephesians chapter 5, I want to show you something. And I want you to look at a word. And I want to try to explain to you what that word means this morning. The Bible said in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 15. He said, see then that you walk. Are y'all looking at that next word? That's a big word. Circumspectly. Not as fools, but as wise. How many knows what that word circumspectly means? Just a couple of people. Not many. Not many. You know what? And I'm just like you. I had no idea what that word circumspectly means. So I looked it up one day. And what that word circumspectly means, it means to watch, giving attention in every direction. To be watching always, giving attention in every direction. Now, here's the story, and this is the whole message this morning. Several years ago, I was deer hunting. I was in my deer stand, sitting about 25 to 30 feet off the ground, and I was watching a deer trail where the deer always come through. I knew where to put my stand to get what I was after. And you know what? The devil knows where to put your temptation to get you. He examines your life. He knows where you come. He knows where you go. Listen, he knows what you like. I put my deer stand in this specific spot because there were white oak trees. Anybody know what oak trees are? Anybody know what falls off of oak trees? Acorns. Acorns. However you say it. I call them acorns. You call them acorns. Whatever. The deer love them. That's their favorite food. So all I got to do is find what they like and be where it's at, and I'm going to get them. So I put my deer stand up in this big old pine tree. And I sat there and I waited for those deer. Now, buddy, I had on camouflage from the bottom of my feet to the top of my head. Real tree camo up one side and down the other. I had my bow hanging beside the tree. I'm ready. I'm ready. There's no way this can go wrong. I'm fixing to put meat in the freezer. I didn't sit there very long till the Lord showed me what circumspectly meant. I was looking down that deer trail and I thought I saw something. And I started looking real hard. And way down the trail came an old doe. Who knows what a doe is? That's a female deer, a mama deer. We love to eat mama deers, daddy deers. We have a motto, if it's brown, it's down. We shoot them all. They all eat good. Amen. But this big mama deer started coming down that trail, and I began to watch her, and the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart. You know what she was doing? She was eating acorns. But Brother Allen, here's what she'd do. She would put her head down, and she'd get an acorn in her mouth, and she'd start, gulp, 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 gulp. She'd bend down, get another acorn, gulp, 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 gulp. She'd go and get another acorn. Gulp, 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 gulp. An And the Holy Spirit said, she's walking circumspectly.
Yes, ma'am, brother.
She's going on with her life. She's doing the things that she has to do. But she's paying attention. She's always on the lookout for danger.
Yes, ma'am.
But coming up behind her was a fawn. A little baby deer. Now, he wasn't a brand new baby, but he was a small little baby deer. And yes, I would have shot him too. The younger they are, the more tender they are. Now listen, you say, that's mean. That's just like the devil.
Yeah, that's right.
The sooner he can get your life, he would rather have a whole life than half a life. He would rather destroy your life now than wait till you're out of high school. That's why he's after teenagers more than anybody else in America. He wants you. But coming up behind this mama deer is this little baby deer. And he's not yet learned to walk circumspectly. And he's just flopping around and playing, kicking up his heels and having a big time, eating acorns. He ain't looking at nothing. But mama deer's coming down that trail. She's eating her acorns, looking every which way. And buddy, she gets to where my deer stand is. She's eating those acorns, and I've got my bow in my hand. I'm fixing to nail her. I mean, I'm like a statue. I'm not even breathing. She starts eating them acorns, and she didn't look around. She didn't look sideways. She didn't look back. She went right dead in my eyeball. I'm 30 feet in the air. I've got on real tree camo. From the top of my head to the sole of my feet, I'm supposed to be invisible. Y'all can't even see me, can you? If I was in the woods, you couldn't. But buddy, she did. You know why? Because she was walking circumspectly. She was going about her business as she did every day. But right in her path, where she had to travel. The devil ain't going to be where you ain't going.
Right.
He's going to be waiting on you at that high school. He's going to be waiting on you at that middle school. He's going to be waiting on you in that elementary school. He's looking for you. She stared up at me. I'm up in that tree, and I'm busting it. I know she's got her eyeballs up. I wouldn't even make eye contact.
Every now and then I glance over, and she's still standing. All of a sudden, she stomped her foot.
She's trying to get me to move. She stomped that foot again, trying to get me to move. And then she said, "That's fear, for there's a redneck in yon tree." She stomped that foot again and began to blow. Still, I ain't moved. But here comes Stupid behind her. That little old deer gets right up behind her. She still stared at me and she says, "What?" She kicked him for a loop. And she looked at him. I don't know what she said, but I think it meant, "You stupid idiot, you're fixing to die." Because that man up in that tree don't care nothing about no horns. He'd just as soon eat you in a biscuit as he has to look at you. Because she walked circumspectly, she went on down the trail. Because I couldn't get a shot. She saved her own child's life because she was walking circumspectly. My hope and my desire for you is this lady. I don't remember which one of the Latour girls and it was, Brother Allen. But I got to go sit and watch her walk and get her diploma with her head held up. And boy, that was an honor. And that was a privilege. I want to see you make it. I want to see you have Christian homes and Christian husbands and Christian wives. Good children. I'm going to have to learn to walk circumspectly. Now listen carefully. The smartest, wisest animal in the woods is the male deer, the buck.
the bigger they are, and the bigger their horns are, the antlers, the smaller. Do you know how they get so big? Anybody know? You know how they get so big? They're smart. They're smart. The older they get, the bigger they get. Not many people kill great big deer. You know why? Because they're smart. They're very, very smart. But there's one time a year when they're vulnerable. There's one time a year when even the smartest buck in the woods gets a little bit stupid. You watching him or me? One time a year when that buck who is so wise makes some of the most foolish mistakes of his life. And that time of year is the mating season.
Come on, bro.
That's when they're looking for a girlfriend. Listen to me, boys. Them girls will make you do some stupid stuff.
Amen.
During the mating season, the smartest animal in the world will walk right out in front of a semi-truck. That's true. That's true. And I can prove it to you this morning.
The devil.
Later that same year, when that mama deer saw me in the tree and busted me, stupid heifer, made me mad. That same year, in November, that's when the boy deers get stupid. That's when the boy deers get crazy and stop walking circumspectly and stop paying attention. I'm in the same tree. I'm wearing the same camo. I got the same bow. And I'm looking down the same trail. Guess who shows up? Smart mama. Here she comes. And I'm froze. With my bow in my hand. She come down that trail just like before. Eating acorns. And looking in every direction. She come down that trail. She got the same exact spot, Brother Joe, that she did the time before. Exactly. I mean, it was almost like an instant replay of a basketball game. She came to the same spot. Busted me again. But she froze. She did not move. I froze, and I did not move. But I began to look, Brother Allen. I was wondering if that little fawn was still following her. But I looked down that trail, and I didn't see a little fawn. I saw Bucky. Her boyfriend was following her down the trail. And you know what? He wasn't looking in every direction. He wasn't walking circumspectly. All he was thinking about was her. While she's staring up in that tree at me, he's got his eyes dead locked on her. He's thinking about love. She's thinking about death. He's thinking about a relationship, and she's sensing and seeing danger. But he never looked. Now listen to me carefully. Do you know what that cost him? You have any idea?
Why he didn't know. Why he thought everything was cool and everything was just fine and everything's going great. Hey man, that's when the devil will hit you. When you think everything's fine and you think everything's cool and ain't nothing going to happen, it happens to everybody else. But it won't happen to you. What he didn't know was that dead man was in that tree. While he was looking at her, got his eyes on her. Honest before the Lord, he don't even know he's been shot. She goes off down the trail. He starts trotting along behind her, but all of a sudden, while he's trotting along chasing his girlfriend, he goes, oh, what's that in my side? Is that blood coming out from me? He starts to wobble like this. And finally it dawns on him, somebody shot me. He said, oh, I can't hardly breathe. go in my belly. And then Bucky went in my septic tank. The end of Bucky. Why? Because he did not learn to walk circumspectly. Everybody do this with me. Come on, let's see the eight ball. Let's head down. Let's head down. You ready? Everybody look at me now. You go home today and Mama asks you what you learned in church, just go. I learned to watch and look in every direction. Listen, I'm going to tell you one more story and I'm going to quit, okay? How many of you ever heard of the Vietnam War? I'm almost through.
Get the mic.
In Vietnam, there was a famous Marine sniper. You know what a sniper is? A sniper is somebody who shoots people from a long way off. His name was Carlos Hathbaugh. And he is said to be the best Marine sniper who ever lived. There was a Viet Cong or Vietnamese sniper that was killing high-ranking people in our army. They came to Corporal Carlos Hathcock and told him, whatever it takes, you go kill that sniper. So Carlos Hathcock takes Corporal Burke, his spotter, and they set out on a trip. And for 3 days, they crawled on their hands and knees through the jungles, through the rice paddies. They find where that Vietnamese sniper is camped, they find where he's at, and they're tracking him. And that's what the devil's doing to us. While we're out hunting, doing what we normally do, hunting for somebody to spend the rest of our life with, hunting for the will of God for our life, while we're out hunting, we're also being hunted.
Right.
Amen.
We're not just the hunter, we are the hunted. 3 days, Corporal Burke and Carlos Hathcock crawled on their hands and knees. Finally, on the third day, 1,000 yards. Anybody know how far that is? Let me give you an idea. A football field is 300 yards. How many times will 3 go into 1,000? Over 9, right? 9.5, somewhere in that neighborhood. That's a long, stinking way. Over 1,000 yards, Corporal Burke sees a glimmer like a reflection up on the hill. He gets his spotting scope, his binoculars, and he looks and he says, Sergeant Hathcock, there he is. I see the glint of his rifle scope. Sergeant Hathcock takes careful aim. And when he squeezes the trigger,
the reflection on the hillside vanishes. They hiked 1,000 yards. What they found was amazing. That Vietnamese sniper laying on the ground dead. The bullet went through his rifle scope that he was looking through into his eyeball. And Corporal Burke got excited. And he said, man, that's the best shot I've ever seen. Man, I've never seen anything like this in my life. And he looked at Carlos Hathcock and he was shaking. He said, what's the matter, Sergeant? He said, there's only one way that shot could have been possible. The only way I could have made that shot is while I was looking at him through my sights. He had to be looking at me. It was just a matter of who pulled the trigger first. I promise you, kids, listen to me. He's looking this morning. If you're saved, your old daddy's mad. And he's got his sights on you. So we better be careful as we walk through this life. And pay attention in every direction. Let's bow our heads all over. Nobody looking around. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Now listen. We said there were two types of children. there were children of God or children of the devil. You're one of the two. Bow your heads, girls. Don't pay Thomas no attention. Bow your head. Bow your head. Come on, help me. Bow your head. Please. Please. Y'all do it. Bow your head. Bow your head. Thank you. Duh. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Two types of children. Y'all remember what they are? They're children of God or they're children of the devil. Now listen, if you've been saved, you are a child of God. But if you've never been saved, you're still a child of the devil. But listen to me. There's good news this morning. Jesus wants to adopt you today. He'll take you away from the devil and make you His own child. Now listen to me. If you're here this morning and you're not sure if you died today, heaven would be your home. I want to pray for you. I won't embarrass you. I promise. I just want to pray for you. You said, Brother Eddie, I don't want to be a child of the devil. I want to be a child of God. I don't want to die and go to hell. I'd like to know heaven's my home. Please pray for me that I could get that settled in my heart. Anybody like that, just slip up your hand. Brother Eddie, I'm not sure that I'm saved. God bless you, buddy. God bless you, buddy. God bless you, hon. Anybody else, God bless you, buddy. Brother Eddie, I'm not sure. God bless you, darling. I'm not sure if I died right now, God bless you, buddy, that heaven would be my home. I'd like to get that settled in my heart. Please pray for me. I see your hands. God bless you, son. Brother Eddie, I know I'm saved. I remember when I got saved. I know I'm not a child of the devil. I know I'm a child of God. But I realize the devil's out to destroy my life. Even though I have a new father, my old father's mad. Brother Eddie, would you pray that I would learn to walk like that deer and walk circumspectly and see what's coming to destroy my life and not let it? Please pray, Brother Eddie, that I would learn to walk circumspectly. Just slip up your hand. We're just going to pray for you this morning. Boy, I got my hand up. God bless your hearts. Let's bow our heads again. Let's pray. Fathers, we come to you this morning. Lord, you've seen every hand. God, you know every heart in this room. And Lord, I beg you, don't let one leave here today lost and undone without you. Father, please save them today. God, help these young people. Lord, especially these teenagers right now at a critical time in their life. Father, please help them to look in every direction. God, help them not to let the devil fool them and wreck and ruin their life. God, help them to walk circumspectly. Lord, have your will and your way in their lives. And God, we'll thank you in Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Let's stand our feet quietly. Let's just stand up where we are. Listen carefully, guys. Listen. Nobody looking. Listen. Everybody looking right up here at me. Listen, if you raised your hand and you're not sure, if you died today, heaven would be your home. I want you to come right over here to Brother Greg or Miss Susan. Come right over here where I'm at. Come on. Just come off that balcony. Come off that bleachers right now. Come on. How about it, young man? Won't you come? Let us take a Bible and show you how you don't have to die and go to hell. Somebody will help you. We'll pray with you right here today. Come on. Let's do business with God. Come on. Come on. Come on. Let Brother Thomas, let Brother Greg, let some of these guys take their Bible and show you how to be saved. Why don't you come? Why don't you come? Why don't you come? Get them started, Brother Greg. Let's sing, Lord, Here's My Basket. God bless you, girls. To hear the words of Jesus, His miracles to see.